This morning we're going to be looking in Acts chapter 2 at the end of the chapter, verses 42 to 47, as we talk about the idea of fellowship. One of the unique things about preaching at this church is Patrick has the preaching lineup done for about the next 9 months or a year in advance. So I've actually known that I was preaching on this date for about the last 8 or 9 months. And what happens when that, it's really a blessing, when you know that you're going to be preaching on a certain topic, you start listening. And you start thinking and you start searching the Spirit and your eyes are seeing things and your ears are perked up to certain ideas. Well, for about the last 3 months in specific, I've really been ramping up towards this and gearing towards it. And I've been thinking about this idea of fellowship very specifically for the last 3 months. Well, when you think about fellowship, what comes to mind first of all? Potluck meals. Right? So, I wanted you to get a sample, a little bit of a feeling of where my mind has been at for the last 3 months. So, Ken, if you could start flipping through those slides. Just keep going. Yeah. Keep going. Admittedly, there's something missing on the podcast here. If you're listening on the podcast, we have images of potluck meals just scrolling through and we're taking part. Just imagining what that's like. Potluck meals. I mean, in churches of Christ, if you grew up in churches of Christ, potluck meals are like equated with fellowship, right? We even call them fellowship meals, right? Keep flipping through these slides. Just different images of great food. I know you're getting hungry. I've been hungry for 3 months here, guys. Okay, keep going. Oh, this next one is it. Fried chicken. Come on. Potluck meals are an excuse for us to eat fried chicken, right? Potluck meals are equated with fellowship in our tribe. Let's go to the next one. And if potluck meals aren't characterized by, keep going, if potluck meals aren't characterized by fried chicken, they are characterized by desserts. Oh, Lord. God bless fellowship meals because of the desserts, right? Keep going. There's a certain kind of logic that goes along with the dessert portion of fellowship meals, of potlucks. You would never eat that much dessert in a normal life, right? And it's almost like you're roped into it, like you have to have it at a potluck meal. So the dessert logic of the fellowship meal goes like this. All right, I would never normally have this food. But since I have access to it, I have to have 4 different desserts, right? The logic gets even worse, more twisted, right? You say to yourself, well, I wouldn't want to take home the food that I brought, so I might as well eat somebody else's dessert so they don't have to take it home, right? Well, the logic falls apart because you're the one that brought the Jell-O with the fruit in it that nobody wants to eat, and you're wanting to eat the cherry pie that's the most amazing dessert that's there, right? Potluck dessert logic is the most twisted, weird, unsound logic system in the world. And so this is where my mind has been at for the last few months. Part of that is joking. Part of it is serious. In our fellowship, we have equated meals, potluck, with fellowship. Is that what fellowship really is? Is that the definition of fellowship? Or is it something more? I'm convinced that it's something more. What is fellowship? Let's interact with this idea together as we consider the scripture from Acts chapter 2. Let's read the scripture together and we'll say a prayer of blessing. At the end of Peter's sermon at the day of Pentecost, there's a summary statement with which the author Luke provides, giving us a clue as to what's happening with the church in Jerusalem. He says the church has started, many people have come to the Lord, but what does it look like? When you read this text, it should be one of those texts that just sounds out like a clarion call for the church. It should be an inspiring text for us. When we read this, we say, man, I wish I could experience something like that. Let's see what the early church was characterized by. Acts 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and with many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That is really cool. That is the picture of community that is ideal and is perfect. I would love to see what this community looked like. We're going to be dwelling on this scripture over the next few weeks. I'm looking at it today from the angle of fellowship. The early church was characterized by fellowship. So what is this idea of fellowship? If you grew up in churches of Christ, you may have heard fellowship is two fellows in a ship together. Well, if that's not a really shallow definition, I don't know what is. The Greek word for fellowship is koinonia. Koinonia has, in the Christian realm, started to gain some traction as a word in theology. You may have even heard churches named after it or individual ministries named after it. Koinonia means everybody is equal. Everything is in common between those. All right. A way of getting our minds around this is looking at a similar word in the New Testament. Koinonia is the noun. Koinos is the adjective form. And it actually comes up in verse 44 here when it said all the believers were together and had everything in common. Common is the same idea as fellowship. It's equal. Everything is together. Everything is one. When they say that they considered that their possessions were common, they were shared by all because everybody had equal standing in the church. Okay? This word koinos, this is fascinating to me. Koinos was actually used in the discussion of clean versus unclean. So in the Gospels, when you hear the Jewish people talking about what is clean and what is unclean, the word for unclean is koinos. And that's the same word that is used for the fellowship of believers. That is a strange kind of thing. It's like in God's world, everything is flipped upside down. What you thought was holy may not be so holy. I'm thinking of the Acts 10 piece where Peter is in Cornelius' house. And he has that vision of the sheet that comes down from heaven and all the unclean animals. God is now saying they are clean. So all of these people, these Christians, the Jesus followers, who the whole world thought was loopy and out of their mind, these are the ones who are now common. These are the ones who are now all equal. And the way that they lived stood out in the world. If you don't read this part of the scripture where it says, and they enjoyed the favor of all the people, and just feel warm feelings of joy throughout you, that is what the community of God is called to. The community of God is a radical re-envisioning of what community is like. When we have true relationship with each other, when we are equal with one another, that is fellowship. Eating a meal together is not fellowship. Okay, we can call it a fellowship meal, but it doesn't mean that fellowship is happening at the meal. Fellowship means that we are equal with one another. Fellowship means that if your brother or sister who's a Michigan State fan says something to you mean about your team losing yesterday, you look them in the eye and say, I still love you. Fellowship means that you're not going to strike back when a Michigan State fan tries to taunt you, right? Fellowship is gathering around a family who is hurting and saying, I want to support you. I am there for you. Fellowship is praying for the Milligan family, who Nancy is very sick, and asking God, interceding with God, saying, God, please bless them. Take care of Nancy. Do something miraculous in their family. Fellowship is this radical re-envisioning of what it means to be equal with one another. There's the beautiful text in Galatians that says, Paul says to the people, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. We are all equal in Christ. And it doesn't take away who we are, but it means that we're all on the same level. So Patrick, who stands up here and preaches every week, is the same as every single person in this fellowship. The elders who are called to lead this body, there's nothing special about them. They are equal. There's nothing special about them except for the calling that they've received to be leaders. All people are equal in Christ. One of the outgrowths of this is that all people are equally called to serve. All people are equally called to be ministers of Jesus Christ in this world. And I am convinced that the relationships and the unconditional acceptance of one another is one of the most radical ways that we can evangelize the world, that we can share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. When we accept each other unconditionally, that stands out in this world because that's not the MO of this world. The way that this world operates is through a system of hierarchy and power and leverage. You should never have to leverage a brother or sister into loving you. It should happen normally and naturally. As it was said, as the scripture reading that Shane read, we have fellowship simply because we are in Christ Jesus and His blood takes away all of our sins. We have fellowship because we are commonly saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Fellowship characterizes who we are. Now, what causes us to have fellowship? What causes us to be together? There are some practical considerations that have to come along with this idea of fellowship. We have to be together to be able to have fellowship. Part of what I'm going to say here is to the church body. If you are a visitor with us, welcome. We are thrilled that you're with us. And as you're with us, you're evaluating, is this a place that I can see myself being at long term? We hope that you are interested in being a part of our body. But if you've already committed to this body, and the only interaction that you have with other people from this body is on Sunday morning for an hour or an hour and a half, shame on you. And I'll say it that strongly, because you're missing out, because you're not being able to be blessed by this body. Fellowship is sharing life together. Did you listen to what happened in this text? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread. These are things that take time with one another. The early church lived out life together. They didn't just come together for a period of worship. They lived life together. And if anyone would ever need a sermon about being so busy that we can't have time to be together, it would be people in our society. Perhaps people in our exact context in Michigan in this day. Everybody I talk to is so busy that we have to shoehorn time in to spend with each other. How backward is that? When we're together, the relationships that we share with one another, those are where we get our strength from. Those are a reminder of who we are called to be. And if we get ourselves so busy with other stuff, we deprive ourselves of a potential source of power in our life. A potential source of resources that we can turn to when times are difficult. A potential source of people to whom we can minister when their lives are falling apart. We rob ourselves, essentially. We have to be together to be able to have fellowship. But here's where the word of caution comes in. Simply because we're together does not mean that fellowship is happening. So that's why I say the joke in the beginning about the potluck. Just because we were eating together does not mean that fellowship was happening. If you see a brother or a sister on a church on Sunday morning, hi, how are you doing? I'm doing great. How are you? I'm doing great too. Boy, it's great weather out this morning. I really enjoy seeing the fog. What did you think about the game yesterday? That's not fellowship, folks. Fellowship is sharing life with one another. So we have to be willing to engage in fellowship. Okay, just because you have a fast car doesn't mean that you're getting everything out of the fast car that you should. If you have a beautiful Corvette and it's sitting in your garage, what good is it? If you take it outside and you give it a nice wash and you wax it up and you start it back up and you take it back into the garage, what's the point? All right? A fast car is meant to be driven and enjoyed. All right. I'm thinking of Bert Bryan here, by the way. A fast car is meant to be enjoyed. Because the text in 1 John says that we have fellowship with one another, does not mean that we experience that. There is a level at which that text says we have fellowship simply because we are in Christ. Okay, we can rejoice and say that we have fellowship with our brothers and sisters in the churches in Uganda this morning. Okay? That's true. That's very true. We are all equal. We can claim that we have the same relationship in Jesus Christ. But it doesn't mean that we are experiencing fellowship unless we open ourselves to that, unless we decide to engage in fellowship with one another. And honestly, guys, this is where my struggle comes in. I'll be confessional and say, I have a hard time allowing people to get deep within me. I don't like to volunteer those things. Here's my strategy. I'm totally airing all this out now. And all of you are thinking about previous conversations with me right now, right? My strategy is to give you just a little bit of enough to keep it at a fairly surface level, and we don't have to go really deep, right? So how are you doing, Brian? My week's been really hard, but, you know, I'm doing all right. And, you know, I'm really enjoying time with Sophie. Oh, boy, that's my strategy. Sophie is like this shield, right? If there's an awkward moment and I don't want to talk about something, talk about Sophie, because there's so many good stories there, and I really enjoy being a father. Guys, this is one that cuts me. I have to be willing to engage with you. I have to be willing to open myself up to be able to experience the blessings of fellowship. We have to, as a body, intentionally choose to disclose information about ourselves in order for us to be able to share that fellowship with one another. It takes intentionality, it takes a decision, and it takes a purposeful intent to make that happen in order for us to be able to experience fellowship with one another. So if you come to this church body and all you have is surface-level conversations, you're missing out. You're missing out on the potential benefits of being in a group of people who will accept you simply because you are. And where else are you going to find that in the world? What other group of people is simply going to accept you because of who you are? Conditional acceptance is the MO of this world. I'll accept you if you do this for me. I'll spend time with you if you do this for me. What can I gain from you? What can you bless me with? Then I'll make a choice to accept you. In the body of Christ, we simply say we love you because you are. Because you claim the name of Jesus Christ as your Savior, we're equal and we will accept you. This is the power of fellowship. But a third practical consideration. We have to give each other the space so that fellowship is real in each other's lives. It may look different in each other's context, okay? I dare say that fellowship between two 70-year-olds is going to look a lot different from fellowship between two 20-somethings, okay? The 20-somethings may be experiencing fellowship through Facebook. They may not be experiencing it that way, but they may be. That is a potential way for us to engage with one another, okay? But go back to the analogy we drew earlier. Just because we have a potluck together doesn't mean that we're really experiencing fellowship. Just because people are friends on Facebook doesn't mean they're experiencing fellowship with one another. We have to give each other the space so that the fellowship that we experience can be real and authentic in our midst. We have to give each other the rope to be able to experience with one another what life is. I've used that word several times here because it is experience that draws us into relationship with one another. It's when we start to share together events, things in our lives, when we do things with one another, that fellowship really starts to take hold in our lives. It's fellowship, the shared memories of life together. When you can look back with your friends or your family members or your brothers and sisters in Christ and say, I remember when this, I remember when that. It's not just passing the plate to take a piece of bread and passing the plate to take a sip of the juice. Fellowship is an intentional decision to be with one another. And guys, it's the most radical thing in the world. Just to have relationship with one another. It is a radical thing to say, I accept you simply because you accept Jesus Christ. Simply because you are. And the power of fellowship, I'm convinced, comes from God Himself. You know, the text in 1 John talks about fellowship in two senses. We have fellowship with God. God created us. Through Jesus Christ, our sins are removed. The darkness and light barrier that was there is there no longer. We can be with God. It also talks about a horizontal fellowship of saying that we are together. But God, the picture of the way that God created the world in Eden, where he walked with Adam and Eve and experienced life with them, that is the same picture that gets reenacted in our church every day. Of a common fellowship of walking with one another and sharing life with one another. God loves us so equally and so perfectly that when we do that with each other, we're really reflecting and imitating the love of God to one another. And the love of God is difficult and hard in that it holds us accountable to certain things. So fellowship with one another, while it is this warm and it's a fuzzy thing, it's also a hard and difficult thing because we give each other the power when we engage in fellowship to look in our eyes and say, Brian, there's something wrong and I want to talk to you about that. And if we don't have those kind of relationships where God is able to speak into our lives through each other, then that fellowship is also lacking. There's something that is missing in that fellowship. We are called to such a beautiful level of acceptance and love with one another, where we accept each other perfectly, yet we hold each other accountable to the ways that God is asking us to live. Several times this week, just out of pure joy of this idea of fellowship, I sat down and read through the Sermon on the Mount again, Matthew chapters 5 through 7, and looked at the way that Jesus imagines the community of God living together, and the perfect acceptance that comes when you bless your enemies, when you act in ways that the world would not typically act. We turn our cheeks, we act meekly towards one another. Someone else's needs supersede my own needs. When, as the text says in Matthew 5, the relationships with each other are more important than worshiping God, that we can't even go to worship at the altar of the Lord if there's a broken relationship between brothers and sisters. That's a different kind of a community. And it is a community that I desperately long to be a part of. Let's go back in the Acts text to that one line where it says the people, the Christians enjoyed the affirmation of all the people. Let's read that again. I need to get the exact line here. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. If you want a good test of how effective your church is, does your community, does your neighborhood know that you exist? And do they think that you're a good church? That's where it lies. Does this community know that Rochester Church of Christ exists? Does your specific community know what Rochester Church of Christ means to you? Those are some pretty tough questions. You know, this idea of fellowship is one that gets in our face a little bit and asks us to strip away those barriers, and without shame, without any qualms, we engage in relationship with one another. Let us be the kind of people that share unfettered relationship, where we accept one another simply because of our commitment to Jesus Christ. Jeremy, let's bring your team up. What is fellowship? Fellowship is equality in Christ. Fellowship is a life lived out with one another. Fellowship is a dismissal of the ways that this world typically lives, the selfishness that's in our hearts, and the way of getting after pursuit of ourselves. Fellowship is accepting one another and living as the body of Christ ought to live. Let's experience fellowship. And as God challenges us to go deeper in relationship with one another, let's do that together as a church body.
In Christ.